The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
They were blinded because everything behind that place was holy, was special, the glory of the Lord and all that. In fact, Leviticus tells us that God said, me, I myself will appear on the mercy seat. So, guy, because I'm going to appear, because I'm behind that veil, you can't just walk in there anyhow. So there was a veil that stopped Israel from seeing the ark, from seeing God, from seeing the glory. There was a veil. Are you still here? There was a veil. Amen. Now, this was also, you notice, Moses did something similar. Because this is the ark. It was Moses that built this ark. But apart from this, this is the temple that Moses built this tabernacle and all. But apart from this tabernacle, he did something similar. There was an experience where Moses went up to the mountain. Please pay attention to this. And then he came down from the mountain. And when he came down from the mountain, his face began to shine and radiates the glory of God. Are you following? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 12. He came down. Now you would have thought, that if you are Moses, and you go to pray, and after praying, you come out, and your face is shining with the glory of God. What are you going to do? Apart from rejoicing, what are you going to do when you meet people? You're going to show your face. Hallelujah. But you see, actually Moses was not showing his face. Watch this. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now, see the next verse. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end. So watch. There was a glory on his face. What he actually did was, but the Bible tells us, Paul is telling us that that glory was actually to be abolished. I'm coming to that, not now. But then, Moses put a veil on that face to stop Israel from seeing the glory. Same thing that happened in the temple. Come on, I follow him in church. Same thing. He put a veil. Continue verse 14. I'll stop at 15. Verse 14. But their minds, now, he put a veil. But you see what Paul is trying to tell us? This veil was not just on the face of Moses. There was something being illustrated. What was it? Their minds were blinded. In fact, he now goes further to say that even until this day, there remained the same veil, being that 14, there remained the same veil whenever the law of Moses is preached. Every time you read the Old Testament to them, that veil is there. Why? Because, so Moses put that veil to show that they did not have access to see what was actually on his face. Of course, I'm going to come to this shortly. Bible tells us that that veil is done away in Christ. I'm coming to this shortly. So, this was not just a veil in their eyes, but the veil was in their hearts also. So, this veil stopped them from seeing God, from seeing his glory, both on Moses' face and even in the tabernacle. So, whenever the glory showed forth, Moses covered it. Whenever God was going to appear, Moses covered them from seeing God. And it wasn't just Moses doing that. He was trying to illustrate something. So you need to realize, friends, how these things work. So in the Old Testament, there was a veil over their eyes. They couldn't see God. They couldn't know him. Now, if you understand what I'm sharing with you now, you will be able to understand why Matthew 27 happened. Matthew 27 verse 50. When Jesus now died, something happened. Pay attention to this. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So he died. Immediately he died. The veil of the temple, what veil? That veil that stopped people, because by the time Solomon built the temple, he replicated the same thing Moses did in the tabernacle. He put that veil there on the Holy of Holies to cover them. But when Jesus died, that veil was rent into two. Now, you know, he said it was torn from top to bottom. No, not the other, not that one, you know. The real top to bottom, amen. From top. Everything from. It's very powerful that it was torn from top to bottom. No. Okay, now seriously. Now, if it was torn from down up, we could argue that maybe somebody went. Because if you know, have you seen, of course, if you see Catholic churches, Orthodox churches, they are built to be very tall. Have you seen those things? Very long. And the reason is that illustrating how the temple is. The temple is actually very tall. And that veil went from the top to down. So if it went from down, we could say, well, somebody ran in to tear it. But it actually was torn from up, down. Hallelujah. So immediately Jesus died, that veil was torn. What was God trying to say? He wanted to remove that veil. So imagine people in the temple, how they will feel that day. Well, just worshiping God, oh glory, to being holy. And suddenly that veil tore. So everything the high priest you are hiding behind there, we now saw it. Come on. So all of us are just sitting in church, relaxing, saying, thank you, Father, the high priest is. You know how they do those days? When the high priest goes in, it was a very dramatic thing. Whenever he goes into that temple, into that holy place, they attach a rope and a bell to his waist. And that rope is outside. Look at the reason. So that if he dies, because he will keep ringing the bell to tell them, I'm alive, I'm alive. Now, if he dies, maybe he did something of rubbish and then he dies. So that they can use the rope to pull him out because you cannot still go in there. Hallelujah. God was kept behind the veil. Glory to God. So you now see what happened when Zechariah entered there and then they waited for him to come out for long. The day, because he was in that holy place that he had an encounter with an angel that he was told that John would be born. So they waited for him to come out. He didn't come out. They were wondering, should we start pulling? So imagine all of them sitting down. Because that period was a significant period. It was Passover. Remember? They were all seated. And suddenly, a force came and tore it in and divided it. Saying, everything that was being hidden behind this veil, you can now see it. Now, so you notice, hallelujah. So the death of Jesus shed light on God. Do you get what I mean? He shed light. He removed the darkness that was in man's face towards God. In another way, he revealed God. So the death of Jesus, the first thing you notice is that he died. God was revealed. By that temple, cutting the temple, tearing into two, he was trying to say, well, whatever that was hidden, whatever that was darkness, I'm bringing light. And the first place I'm bringing light is for you to see. So you saw, we saw yesterday, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, a lot of glorious gospel in the face of Christ. Put it up, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that face shined on God. It shined in the face of Christ so that God can now be seen. It's just like, that's why we say to people, let me say this. We say to people, God is not mysterious. God has never been mysterious. So by mysterious we mean God has never been unknowable. But there was darkness in the face of the people. So it was men that couldn't know God. It was not God that was unknowable. Do you follow? Because in that holy place, you know, God was pure, revealed. But then something covered the eyes of those people. So when his death came, he shed light and revealed God that was hidden behind the veil for a very long time. That God that the high priest hid behind the veil. Death of Jesus drew light. Glory to God. Just like if on this stage, if something happens and then we put a veil here, and maybe behind here, I kept something of great value. Once I throw light here, and you know, you can begin to see clearly what was hidden before. So see that 2 Corinthians 3. See verse 16. I read 15, 16. Watch. Mean 15. But even unto this day, put up an NLT, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. So he's trying to say, even though that has been opened, every time you are preaching the law, you are putting that veil in their heart. You are stopping people from knowing the true person of God. Watch it. Even today, when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are still covered with that veil and they do not understand. Every time you preach the law, you are putting that veil. Are you following me? What it means is you are stopping people from knowing God. You are keeping God in the dark. That's why the message you preach is not the law of Moses. The message you preach is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he has done. Now see verse 16. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, have you turned to the Lord? The veil is taken away. Come on. It's taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We can now know him. There is freedom there. Now see verse 18. I'll stop there. I'll talk about this tomorrow. So all of us who have had the veil removed, what does it mean? We can now see and reflect the glory of the Lord. So that glory of the Lord that was hidden behind the veil, when the veil is removed, we can now see and we can now reflect that same glory. So what it means is that which is behind the veil can now be seen. That which is behind the veil can now be known. That which was not known. Or let me put it this way. God who was not known, who was not seen, can now be seen. If I say, let's say amen. So we can now see Jesus. We can now see God. So when we talk to the Lord in salvation, that veil is removed so that we can now see the glory. We can now see God. We can now see his glory. So the light Jesus brought revealed God. That's why I will tell people, the coming of Jesus did not change God. The coming of Jesus did not make God less angry. People make it look like in the Old Testament, God was actually very angry. But the New Testament, God is just very calm. So Jesus came and changed God. No. What the death of Jesus did was actually to reveal God. So let me shock you. Is it shock? No, man. It shouldn't shock you. Why do you read the Old Testament and you see pictures that don't look clear about God? You have questions about God. This doesn't look very correct. Because all the while, even the prophets that wrote could not go behind the veil. So they were writing in darkness. Who is following what I'm saying? They were writing without light. They were writing without understanding. They just had pictures of what it looked like. But actually the veil was still there. So Moses put a veil on his face until that glory faded and disappeared totally. He removed it. When he enters his room, he removes the veil. When he comes and talks to people, he puts on the veil and talks to them. Hallelujah. He was trying to illustrate something. That is something that is not yet known. So that's why you read the Old Testament, you have questions. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Oh, why did this one do that? That's all those questions. The reason you're asking, there is the Old Testament, they wrote behind, or they wrote outside the veil. There was a veil covering. But when we turn to the Lord, that veil is removed. When that veil is removed, we can now see and reflect God and reflect his glory. Glory to God. So that's why, see, when Jesus came, he shed light, he revealed God to us. So you now see the writer of Hebrew speaking about the New Testament in Hebrew chapter 8 and verse 10. He was speaking about the New Testament and prophesying about what the New Testament was going to look like. Or not prophesying, just quoting rather the Old Testament. What did he say? He was quoting the Old Testament about the New Testament. He said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Say the Lord, watch closely. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me. a people. Now, see verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why? For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. See, when that new covenant comes, which is where we are living now, the priests don't have to start explaining to us, well, look at how God is that. Actually, because we can now see him clearly. Are you following me? Now, that's not to say that we don't need teachers. But then when we are now teaching, we are teaching what has been revealed to us. The Old Testament, they taught them what they didn't know. Now we are teaching what we know, what has been revealed to us. Hallelujah. The same Spirit living in me is living in you. What has been revealed to me has been revealed to you. I'm teaching you, possibly, because I've had more light in what has been revealed. But that has been revealed to all of us. We all know God. So God is no longer a mystery. God is now known to the man in Christ. The death of Jesus shed light on the personality of God. On the person of the Godhead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You know, there's a story of the blind man and an elephant. I bet you know an illustration. If we bring three blind men and we bring a very big elephant. Amen. And then we say, you can, don't worry, it. Hallelujah. And we say, touch. Tell me what the elephant looks like. They'll just go around, touch. Now imagine the guy that touched the leg. And they say, describe the elephant. What is he going to say? It's a bony, a slim, bony animal. Then one cuts the trunk. They say, describe him. Say, he's long, oh. Elephant long and curved. Glory to God. One touched the tail. He said, how's the elephant? He said, very slim and long. Do you know everything that's saying is correct? But everything that's saying is half truth. That is how the Old Testament wrote about God. So if you check the Old Testament, you will see flashes of truth. It's not falsehood. That's why Hebrew 1 verse 1 tells us, God who at sundry times and in diverse, put it up, Hebrew 1 verse 1, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past. This word sundry times and diverse manners in the Greek is polumeros, polutropos, sundry times, put it up like amplified of this. Watch. In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth. And in different ways. So they had revelations. All of them set forth portions of truth. Just the little they knew. Isaiah set forth a portion of truth. Jeremiah, again, but they were saying what they knew. Because God was still behind that veil. But thank God for Jesus. A portion of the truth. And in different ways, God spake of old to our fathers in and by the prophets. What now happened in Christ? Look at verse 2. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of his son. I'll come to this shortly. So that which he said, portions of truth, he has now spoken clearly now in his son. So Jesus brought light. And the light he brought revealed God. So he didn't change God, he revealed God. What that means is, that what Jesus revealed God as is who God has always been. Come on. Just that they didn't know. But now we know. I say now we know. Go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's look at verse 4 again. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Now we say, we're going to talk about, because let's look at that. Most holy place. He says, which had the golden censer. So the first thing you find in the most holy place, you find that's behind the veil, you find the golden censer. This is what was hidden from them. So they could know this golden censer. What does that golden censer mean? It's an altar. An altar where they burn incense. It talks about the golden censer. Hallelujah. And the Ark of Covenant that was overlaid and all that. So there was an altar there. Put up like end out of this verse 4 or in the translation. Amen. NLT says, in that room, we are a gold incense altar. So it was an altar where they burn incense. That altar is a representation. It typifies the cross of Christ. Because what they do in that altar is, by the time, pay attention to this, by the time they kill the lamb in the outside, outer courts, they bring the blood. It's on that altar that they do all the offering, the sacrifice and all that. That's where they burn incense to appease and to atone for the sins of the people. But that altar was hidden from the men. It was hidden from Israel. So you see, one of the things this veil kept them from seeing, it stopped them from seeing the sacrifices of Christ. It stopped them from seeing the mercy of God. It stopped them from seeing the cross, the altar where mercy happens. Are you following me? And that's why when you read the Old Testament, you will realize that they didn't really know God's mercy. They didn't really know God's grace. Only one or two of them knew. Because actually the true character of God is that he is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. But in the Old Testament, because there was a veil, they couldn't see that there was an altar of incense where sacrifices happen, where we burn incense to atone for your sins. They couldn't see. And so one of the things that was not known about God clearly was his mercy and his grace. So you see John chapter 1 verse 16. Very quickly. John chapter 1 and verse 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's start with King James. John 1 16. Are you there? Are you there? Glory to God. He said, and of his fullness have all we received what? Grace for grace. So what did we receive in the fullness of God? Now I teach, I've thought on this for a very long time. I tell people, if you bring God and cut him open, what are you going to see? Grace for grace. So what God is full of is grace. What God is full of is his mercy. And as he puts it this way, that we have received one spiritual blessing after another. What about NLT? One spiritual blessing after another. One gracious, not even spiritual, one gracious blessing after another. That's what we'll find in him. But they didn't know him like that in the Old Testament. Because behind the veil was where the altar was. They couldn't see what was happening behind. So they didn't know the mercy of God. They didn't know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. Hallelujah. Glory. See, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. So what do you have? What came through Jesus? You know, I've heard people say things like, well, Jesus brought two things. He brought grace and then he brought truth. Grace is his mercy. Truth, his principle. No, well, that sounds sweet. But I can tell you emphatically that is not correct. Jesus brought grace and truth. He brought grace, which is truth. The grace, the truth is grace. Are you following me, church? There is no difference between grace. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the way, the truth, and life. He is the truth. He is grace. He is truth. So what he brought is grace. Verse 16 said he brought grace for grace. Verse 17, explaining what he said in verse 16, is that he brought grace and truth. And verse 18 now tells us, no man had seen God at any time. Do you see how this verse came about? No man. Why? Because before then, he was just behind the veil. Hallelujah. But now we have seen. Now we have seen. No man has seen God at any time. It's the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, his Son had declared God. So before Jesus came, before that curtain was torn, no man has seen him at any time. Because even the high priest that went behind the veil, all they saw were shadows, figures. But even those shadows and those figures, the crowd could not still see. You know what I'm talking about? But when Jesus came, he declared God for who it really was. So when we talk about light, you are talking about the light that revealed the very character of God. The light that revealed the very person of God. That revealed God to us as a good God. That revealed God to us as a God of all grace. Because in the Old Testament, we thought that he is light and darkness. We thought that he kills and he makes alive. And people still say that till today. Oh, he kills and makes alive. God gives, God takes. Just think about that. God gives, God takes. He is both a giver and a taker. He provides, he collects. He heals, he makes sick. He blesses, he curses. What kind of God is that? They didn't know him. It is the story of the blind man that went to see the elephant. Are you following me, church? We didn't know him, but now he has revealed God to us as who he is. You know, 1 John 1 verse 5 tells us emphatically, he said, this is the message that we have heard of him. What is the message? What is the message? What is the message? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So anything that has to do with darkness, you can't find in God. If sickness is darkness, you can't find it in God. What does that tell us? God has never made anybody sick. No matter what the Testament has to say. He says, so are you discarding the Testament? No. We are explaining the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament. God is light. In him, there is no darkness. Not 1% darkness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In him, no darkness at all. No darkness. So he's not good and evil. He's not light and darkness. He's not sickness and health. He's not poverty and riches. He is wealth. He is blessing. He is grace. He is light. He is everything good. That's who we see in him. That's who we see. In James 1 verse 17, it makes it very clear. Every good and perfect gift, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Now, I like this, with whom is no variableness. I don't know if I've explained this many times, but I don't know if you've gotten it. With him, what does it mean to have variableness? What does it mean? To change. In other words, he is good, he gives good gifts, he gives perfect gifts. With him, there is no variableness. There is no changing from who he is. No shadow of turning. Come on. In other words, he cannot stop being good. He cannot stop being gracious. He cannot stop being merciful. You need to know God as who he truly is, because he has been revealed now. Oh, we thought he was good and bad, but now we know he's good and good. Hallelujah. Good and always good. Glory to God. John, we put it this way in 1 John chapter 4. In verse 8, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, glory to God. I love the word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he said, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. So God is not hate. So, I've been teaching on this many years now, and I say to people, everything you think love cannot do, God cannot do it. Everything. So if you think that love cannot kill, then God cannot kill. If love will heal, God will heal. Look at even your own imperfect love. Your imperfect love. Yet, last semester, you gave your school fees to your boyfriend. I'm talking to you. Your imperfect love. And let me even correct that. If you are like that, this is going to be a very long digression, but I'm going to do it. Stop giving your school fees to your boyfriend. Yes, or to your girlfriend. Yes, it's a mark of foolishness. How can you give people money you did not make? Your parents also to pay your school fees and they send it to you. You know, say, baby, now I love you. I care about you. Let me say this to you. It's just very short relationship seminar. Very short. There is an amount of financial commitment you cannot have to someone you're not married to. Take it to the bank. There is an amount of, let me forget what he said, if he loves me, I'm not driven by what the popular opinion. There's an amount of financial commitment you cannot have to someone you're not married to. You're not married to someone, you're buying him a car, buying her a car, paying their school fees. Well, it's not bad. If God touches your heart, it's fine. But don't come and cry in my office. After all I did, who sent you? Why did you do? Praise God, though. So when someone finally breaks your heart, what is hurting you is not just that your heart was broken. You are thinking about everything that you've given. All your investments that did not pay. Those look like your the market went bad. It's bear market. Hallelujah. He said, this coin that was at this, it has gone down. That's why, because you felt you were investing. That's not true. Stop that rubbish. And I see a lot in school. And if you're like that, yeah, you go back and change. You see them in school, their father, their mother is paying their school fees, and they take a girl in to begin to live with them and feed the girl with money that is not your own. Say amen. Don't come and cry. You say, yes, I know work. Why should you even live with a guy? And the painful one are ladies that take guys in, giving them money. Your mother send you food. They send you money. We share. What do you want to achieve? So that he will not leave you. The problem is when you give him 5,000, he sneaks out and calls, baby, I'm sending the recharge card now. Your money. Don't be foolish. If God has blessed you financially and you are in a relationship, please be generous, okay? Because it is in being generous, much more that we know that you'll be generous when the time comes. Be generous, but don't be stupid. Are you following me? See, even if I have ₦1 billion, ₦10 billion, I'm not going to buy a house for any girl I'm not married to. I will never do that. No matter how rich I will never do that. Except I will buy it in my name and you can live there. If anything happens, I collect my property back. I will never do it. Just take it from me. I'm not saying... I'm a generous person, you know. At least if you see how I give to God, you know I'm generous. But I will never do it. If I want to invest, I know how to do it. I've said you lay up your treasures in heaven. Where nothing can touch it. And it's by giving. I don't know what to do. Money. Give. Give it out. Give it to God. Help the needy. Hallelujah. You should be generous to your spouse, not even your spouse now, your intending spouse. But there is no law that said that when you get into a relationship with someone, you are now the person to be buying her cream, to be buying, stop that. I don't know where you're learning that from. And let me tell you what it does. First to the guy, what it does to you is, if anything happens, you under, in fact, you are crying, you feel you've invested all your life. But see the challenge for the lady too. The guy might actually be putting that girl in trouble. If she eventually wakes up one day and feels she doesn't want you again, she cannot go because she feels you've done everything for me. That's what she feels. So she's not going to go. Glory to God. And that's the point. So you're finally staying with someone who doesn't want you again, but you've done so much for me. I cannot tell you though. Glory to God. But that's my debate. What led us to that? The love of God. God is love. Now, why are we giving all this warning? Because human love is imperfect. Forever. But that's why in marriage, we learn from Christ in marriage. That's the way we can have a perfect marriage. We learn from it. We are learning love from him. If it is this human love, it's imperfect. But the love we have in Christ is perfect. Now look at that, your imperfect love. Look at how far it goes for people. Think of how far the perfect love of God will go for you. That's human love. We've seen this generation where people give their kidneys to people. To their brothers, to their spouse. That's imperfect love. Think of how far Jesus will go for you. Think of how far he even went for you by giving his life. And think of how far he can go for you now. He's a God of all grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. There is no bitterness in him. There is no hurt in him. Are you getting me, church? None in him. None in him. He's a perfect God. He's a good God. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And in case before you've seen God as one kind of bitter God, I'm showing you the God you never knew. Remember the book? The God you never knew. The God revealed in Christ. The God hidden behind the veil. No, John felt you didn't understand. You go to verse 16. He said it again. We have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love again. He never said God loves. He said God is love. So describe God in one word. Love. Hallelujah. So what will love do? How far can love go? That is how far God can go for you. That's why if you are sick, don't ever expect you're going to remain sick. God is going to go all the way to make you whole. All the way. I say all the way. He will. He will go all the way. Our God is a good, good father. He's a good, good father. There is no shadow of turning in him. He's a good God. And that must settle in your heart. Some Old Testament sense, they caught light. They saw him somehow. But you just know that they didn't know him fully. You get to one verse that's saying so much sweet things about God. The next verse that says something else, they didn't know him. That's why by the time you read the book of Job, Job 42, if you read the book of Job, all over the book of Job, Job was complaining about God. In fact, by the time Job's wife confronted him, when they confronted Job about his sickness, Job told them, "Will you receive good from God and not receive evil?" So Job was trying to imply, God gave me all the land and all the heads I have. How can I not receive this evil from him? So as far as Job was concerned, the evil came from God. The only mistake Job made is that Job did not read the book of Job. Because if Job had read the book of Job, chapter 1, he would have seen clearly where Satan came to God. I didn't get the point. But he thought it was God doing it. So he kept writing. It was Job, he said, he kill it and make it alive. So now he has started to make me sick. What can I do about it? Then go to verse 5. He kept writing. And then this is verse 5. When finally healing came and he began to understand, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see thee. Put up like message. You see what message said? Message said, are you there? I admit I once lived by rumors of you. So everything I've been living and writing all the while, there are rumors I heard about you. What some people said. Elihu said you were this. Eliezer said you were. I get the point. My friend said a couple of things about you. I admit that's how I've lived. That's how I've spoken. He said, now I have it all firsthand. From my own eyes and ears. Go verse 6. I have it firsthand. From my own eyes and my own ears. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I will never do that again, I promise. I will never live on crusts of hearsay. Crumbs of rumor. Are you getting me, George? That's how we've been living. Rumors we heard about God. I heard that it was God that brought COVID. I heard that it was God that did this. I heard it was God that... Where was God when my mother died? So he killed my mother. So he killed my father. So he killed my brother. Rumors. So imagine Job, if Job can talk like this, it means that You see, because this is a man that lost all his children, all of them in one day. Lost all his businesses in one day. Lost all his houses in one day. So the natural person we should blame is God. That's how we think. But finally, he got to see. And watch what happens. Immediately, Job changed that perception about God. God restored him. Now, because sometimes what is stopping your restoration is not God. It is that thing you've built up in your mind about the person of God. You cannot expect to believe that the same God you believe killed your father will suddenly heal you. I didn't get the point. He said, I'm sorry. And some of you need to do this morning. You've been living on rumors about God. You've said questions about God. Hey, it's God that changed. Hey, God just did it to teach the guy. That guy needs to learn. That God didn't happen. God was teaching him lesson. God was showing him pepper. My God, no, they disappoint. I shared this story with you guys. The first venue we used as PG, you know, some people, I've heard this story many times, a church came and, you know, went behind and paid those people that owned the hall and told them to pursue us from the hall, that they will pay more and they will even pay money to renovate the entire hall. Now, that's very bad. But church is church. Church is God's people. Some of them are not growing. Some will never grow. Hallelujah. Some will forever remain children. Some even wear pampers in heaven. But point is that they did that. Now, we came out on a Tuesday and they've thrown all our things out. I was confused. I was not even living in Abuani. Look, I wasn't in Abuani that day. I was totally confused. I didn't know what to do. We began to look for another hall, look for another hall. After everything, I was careful not to pray any bad prayer. Amen. Finally, God gave us another hall. It was tough. But see what happened. They began to renovate that building. They began to renovate it. They brought it up to roofing level. To start roofing, the whole building collapsed to the ground. Now, ignorance will make you feel like, now, God don't show them. See? To be very frank, I was tempted to say, that serves them right. I was tempted. I said, So that next time you learn not to die, you think God, is sleeping in the, God called me, you think he didn't call me? You see, this is why, as God is increasing us, I've pledged my support forever to young ministries. Are you getting me? Forever there will be young ministries. He that is young today will become old one day. Because I did ministry, I had a young ministry, and I know what we got from churches, from older ministries. And I'm going to pledge my support to young ministries. Once I can sense that genuine call of God upon your life, you're not trying to please man, you're serving the Lord, I can see it, I'll support you whatever ways I can. Because there is no need for all these fights. I get to the point. There's no need for all these fights. If you are up, bring up other people. Because as you are up, someone is bigger than you. You are still small for some other people. I don't get the point. I forever play. Because if I tell stories, you will shock. Well, what led me to that? The building collapsed. And some people met me after that. I said, you see, God is fighting for you. And I categorically told them, that wasn't God. That was the devil. Possibly they opened up the door for him through that their rebellion. I get to the point. But that was the devil. Because my God will not collapse a building. What does he stand to gain? The only problem is that when you misbehave, you open up your door for the devil to manipulate you and to deal with you. And if you let the devil, he will never stop. Are you following me, church? And this is one thing you must learn. God is a good God. Settle in your heart. Stop living by rumors. He said, I will never again live on cross of hearsay and crumbs of rumor. So it's time to stop living like that. We serve a good God. Hallelujah. It's not God that took your mom or your dad. It's not God that messed things up for you. It's not God that crumbled your business because you refused to serve him. That wasn't God. That was the devil. It's not God. It's not God. You know, you wanted to sleep one day and you said, God, I don't like you. Get out, man. And you slept and woke up the next day and you fell sick. It wasn't God that made you sick. If anything, when you begin to talk that way, God protects you. Bible says he's kind to the unthankful. He's kind to the evil. So that people don't know God. So they say things like, God, in fact, if God, if you say you exist, I don't believe God exists. You know, whenever you see people arguing that God doesn't exist, it's because they believe he exists. If they don't believe he exists, they will not be arguing. I don't believe God exists. If God says he exists, this night I'm going to insult him, he should kill me. And I want to tell them, he shall give his angels charge over you to protect you. Nothing will happen to you. Because he still wants you to be saved. How can he give his life for you and now kill you even before you receive the life he gave for you? How will he do that? God is good. I say God is good. So the first thing you see, they couldn't see the altar of incense. Go back to that. Hebrews 9 verse 4. They couldn't see the altar of incense where the whole sacrifice and all that happened. So they couldn't see the mercy of God. Again, we see that in that tabernacle, in that temple, or in that Holy of Holies, you find the ark of the covenant overlaid with gold. And wherein had the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod and all that types of covenant. Verse 5. So we find the ark. And then we also find the cherubims of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. So you find the one thing that was hid from their eyes was the ark. The ark in the Old Testament represented the very presence of God. And then this cherubim of glory was also there. So they couldn't see God's presence. They couldn't see God's glory. They just had flashes and pictures of his glory. Everything they saw in the Old Testament was not the fullness. Because that glory was still hidden. So they just had flashes of him. Flashes of him. But now, when that veil was torn, the glory has been revealed to us. The presence of God has been revealed to us. Now look at what blew my mind. The glory of God, the ark, was hidden from them. You notice the ark, whenever it comes out, they used to bring that one out once in a while, when they want to cross the Red Sea, or when they want to go to battle. Things begin to happen. That presence, but it was hid from them. Now, if they didn't have the fullness of that glory and that presence, and you see the kind of manifestations these guys had, we that have had the revelation of that glory, and have even become one with that presence, we should expect much more manifestations. We should expect much more display. That's why I'm trusting God that tonight and tomorrow night, there are going to be healings all over this place. Tomorrow night is going to be specifically for encounters with the Godhead. One of you are going to have visions that are going to come into encounters that will change your life forever. Because in the New Testament, the glory was hidden. Was not revealed. But they had this. They had cloud come. They had the Red Sea divided without the revelation of the glory. We are in the days of the greater glory. So all the things that this light revealed, it revealed to us the full glory of God. The full glory of God. You know, I taught you on this when I was, that study fire. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 9. Oh, start from verse 5. I thought on this and started fire. And it's coming to me again to talk about it. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 5. He said, yeah, also because he transgressed. Go to verse 6. Because of our time. Quickly. Verse 7. Now watch closely, everybody. Verse 8. Finally, we'll go to verse 9. Okay. Verse 9 now. He said, okay, not Habakkuk. I would have said Haggai, rather. Haggai chapter 2 verse 7. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6. He said, for thus said the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, So it was prophesying what will happen in Christ. Are you following? I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. That's where we live in now. Now watch what happens. He said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, said the Lord. Verse 9, everybody. The glory of this latter house. You know, when they saw this, they thought he was talking about the house they were building. No. He's saying there is a latter house. Actually, how it appears in Hebrew is the last house. There is a last house because there have been temples before then. Moses built a tabernacle. Solomon built a temple. Zechariah built a temple. They were building temples and temples. And each temple they built, glory came. Solomon built a temple, glory came. But the glory came, they couldn't minister inside that place again. But he now told them, that is a latter house. That is a last house I'm going to build. That house, the glory of that house, shall be greater than every other house that has been built. And the glory of that house is not the painting. It's not the instrument. It's not the air condition. It's not the speaker. It's the glory. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ekorabata. You know, I love Amplified Classic. Put it up on this verse 9. Watch closely. Amplified Classic made this very clear. He said, the later glory of this house, with its successor, to which Jesus came. So he was talking about the temple that Jesus will build. Which temple you are? Are you following me? The glory of that house shall be greater than the former. Because all they had, all manifestations, was still God behind the veil. Before the throne is where we've come to offer prayer and seek wisdom. Hi, Abashana.
That's a parade. No more outside. Now we are great.
Sing it again, come on.
Before the throne is where we come. Seek wisdom, you have torn the veil, that separates.
No more outside,
no more outside.
Come on, church, let's do it again.
Now we
let me hear you sing. Say, before the throne,
before the throne
is where we've come.
Is where we've come
to offer praise,
to offer praise,
and seek wisdom,
and seek wisdom.
You have done the veil, come on.
And you have torn the veil.
No more outside,
no more outside.
Yes.
Now we go pray.
So we bow, sing.
So we bow as we bend.
We've entered the throne room.
The throne room. And we cast ourselves down at your feet.
We cry holy, holy.
We cry holy.
We cry holy.
Thou art holy.
Woo!
There is none like you. In your presence is where we live now.
In your presence is where we live now.
In your presence,
yeah, yeah.
Is where,
is where
we live now.
One more time. Say, so we bow, we bow.
So we bow.
So we bow.
As we bend down.
We bend down the throne of God. We cast ourselves down at your feet.
And we cast ourselves down.
Holy, holy,
we cry, holy,
we cry, holy,
thou art holy,
hey, Abarana.
There is no like thee.
In your presence,
in your presence,
is where we live right now,
is where we live now.
See, in your presence is where we live now,
in your presence,
hey, Abarana,
is where we live now.
So we bow, we bow, we bow.
So we bow,
so we bow.
As
we bend down the throne of God.
The throne
of God.
And we bow,
ourselves down at your feet.
At your feet.
Hey.
We cry, holy, thou art holy. There is no.
Is where we live now.
We live now.
We live now. Hero Madaya.
Hero
Madaya.
Is where we live now.
In your presence. Is where we live now. We live now.
In your presence.
In your presence.
Is where we live now.
Hey, Amado Roma Teya. Hero Barada.
In your presence.
I am Adanama.
Yeah.
We live here now. We dwell here now. We sleep here now. This is where we live. Come on, church. In your presence. In your presence. In your presence. In your presence.
In your presence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah.
Oh, man, 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 man. We are in the days of the greater glory. The days of the greater glory is here. For the veil has been removed. The veil has been removed. Hey! Hey!
In your presence.
Woo! The veil has been removed. We can now see the glory of God.
It's where we live now.
Cause there will be mighty miracles. Mighty miracles. Days of God's glory. That's where we live now. We are in the days of God's glory. Listen to me, friends. You should expect much more glory. When we gather like this, when you go out to reach out, expect much more glory. That's the days we are living in now. When you put up your meetings, when you hold your church services, expect that there will be diverse manifestations. Expect that someone can be electrocuted at the back by the power of God. except expect people to slip into trances, expect cripples to walk, expect blind eyes to open, expect that bended, that hunchbacks be cast out by the power of God. And I don't know who this is for. Hunchbacks, I'm seeing it in the spirit. Hunchbacks, people that have been bent with the hunchback, the power of God is going to strike them. I'm seeing it in the spirit. Strike them like lightning, and suddenly it will disappear and they will be made straight. Lift your hands in this place. Let's go.
Say, all I see is you.
Woo.
As I worship and adore you.
Woo.
I yield myself to you. This is where I long to be. In your presence, O Lord.
Sing it again. All I see is you. Lift your hands all over this place. Put your eyes on
all
Jesus.
I see is you.
The next 5 minutes, put your eyes on him. Let's forget about everything that is happening in this place. The whether what
as
something
I
is working well or not.
Adore.
I need a stronger backup system. Come on.
I yield myself to you.
This is where I want to be.
This is where I long to be. In your presence, oh God. I lose myself. So I can't go.
This is your house. This is your
home.
We honor you.
We honor you. Lord, we honor you. This is your house.
This is your home.
We honor you.
We your house.
This is your house.
This is your home.
Your home.
We honor you.
We honor you. And Lord, we honor you.
Yes.
This is your house.
This is your home, Jesus.
Your home. We honor you.
One last time. This is your house.
This is your
home.
This is your
home. We honor you.
We honor you.
Somebody
for Pepara da Kamara. This is your house.
Yes, it's your
home.
We honor you.
We honor you.
Father, thank you. We are in the days. You know, I see lights flashing on people's eyes. I asked the Lord, what does this mean? He said it's the revelation gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Eyes that see, ears that hear. Because we are in the days of the glory. We are in the days of the glory of the Lord. The days of the revealed glory. The revealed glory. The revealed glory. The revealed glory. Your eyes will see, your ears will hear. Now, all over this place, you will hear a voice behind you. Some people will hear voices in your spirit, man. All over this place, there's a distribution of that word of knowledge for 15 persons here. The power of God is going to sweep through this place.
15 of you, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Take whatever you're studying. That's another of the Holy Ghost. I need ushers to be very active. There are 15 of them. The power of God is going to sweep them, sweep through them, and there will be distributions all over this place. They will see, they will hear better than they've seen, better than they've heard. Clarity by the Holy Ghost. Clarity by the Holy Ghost. Clarity by the Holy Ghost. Clarity by the Baradabash. There are about 10 more of them. The power of God is going to hit them wherever they are standing. That anointing of the Holy Ghost. That anointing of the Holy Ghost. That anointing of the Holy Ghost. All over this place. In the front and the back. Woo!
Yeah.
Eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understands. You know, I heard the Lord say to me recently, and I'm hearing it now, that we are in the days of increased visions. If you are here, you've been trusting the Lord for much more manifestation of visions in your life, to be able to see clearly. Lift your hands all over this place. We are in the days, because I made it in my spirit. Visions shall increase. Visions shall increase. Visions shall increase. Your eyes will see. Your heart will understand. Father, as hearts, many hearts that are ready, thirsty, power of God, let it run through this place like a lightning. Flash on their eyes and let them see. At the count of seven, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, take all over this place, all over this place, all over this place, all over this place. There are three persons at the back, three of them at the back like that. The power of God is going to rest upon them. Oh, yeah, take at that back session. Yes, that's an answer of the Holy Ghost. An answer of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God. 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 Glory to God. Eyes that see. 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 Some of you will attend meetings before the meetings come. Some of you will have meetings and God will play the meeting out for you before it arrives. It happened to me for this Zoe too. I've been in every session before we came here. And I tell you, your eyes will begin to open to see these things. You're not a blind bat. Eyes that see. Eyes that I'm seeing visions all over this place. Some of you will have trances, and it will be for the end of this meeting. Pastor Tony, you know there is a prophetic oil upon you. Upon you. Yeah. There's a prophetic oil upon him. And from now there will be increased visions. Increased visions. You've seen it in flashes. But as you return back to your ministry, you will begin to see clearer now. Sometimes God will tell you people's stories in pictures before you meet them. And I'm hearing the Lord say to me, the days of the prophets are here. The days of the prophets. And that's why I can say strongly, a prophetic unction. Some will be unlocked to their glorious destiny. Some of you, you've been putting it inside. But there's a release of the prophetic. And I'm going to pray about this again tomorrow. But I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it, 21 of you. It will get started here. The days of the prophets. Some of you that are already in a calling, there will be a touch of the prophetic in your call. And I'm seeing it strongly. Because the Lord began to share with me a few days ago how The prophetic has been bastardized and been silenced. But now there is a rise in the prophetic in the order of David. Those of them have songs. They will sing about Jesus. They will see. It will go with forensic details. Forensic details. You will see names, locations, direction. It will be so clear that men will want to doubt it. But now I see, says the Lord, that the anointing for that is here. The season is here. Thou power of God, as many as are ordained for this, let the power of God hit them wherever they are standing. Take! All over this place. At the back, online, on ground, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The days of the prophets are here. The days of the prophets are here. In our churches, the days of the prophets are here. In our churches, the days of the prophets are here. In our churches, the days of the prophets are here. Nebanana Shada. The days of the prophets. The days of the prophets are here. Zozura Romana. Yeah. And you must be bold. Very bold. Bold to flow in the prophetic, says the Lord. Because the things I'm putting in your hearts are not guesswork. So when they come, you must be bold, says the Lord, to speak them out. You must be bold to speak them out. Because that is the new phase of your ministry now. And you've known it. You've felt it before now. That's the new phase of your ministry now. There will be a prophetic touch and a prophetic blend to your calling. Now hear what the Lord says. Try it everywhere you go. Attempt it everywhere you go. For that is where you just stepped into now. Say the Spirit of the Lord. Say the Spirit of the Lord. Say the Spirit of the Lord. Hey, Barada Bashada. Just pray the Holy Ghost all over this place. Ah, yeah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Just talk in other tongues for 5 minutes and I'll teach a little man we close. Talking to the Holy Ghost all over this place. Touch it. Talking to the Holy Ghost. Talking to the Holy Ghost. Sit down for a moment. Just try to get your seat. Usher said, put the seats together. Oh, we are in the days of the revealed glory. Woo! The revealed glory. He said, it shall come to pass that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. One of these, the Lord said to me, I was in a retreat sometime in June, and he said, you don't expect so much of the supernatural in your meetings. I said, Lord, me? He said, yes, you. He said, you expect the usual. He told me, you expect the usual. You expect tongues and interpretation. That's beautiful. He said, but expect crazy things that I do not expect. He said, the reason I gave you knowledge is not to shut down the flow. He said that you can give order to the flow. That's what he said to me. And some of you, that's what God is saying to you. The reason I gave you knowledge is not to shut the flow. It's to give order to the flow. The reason you know how to control fire is not so that there will be no fire at all. It's that when the fire begins to burn, you can bring order to it.
expect the unusual in your ministry. As you go out to reach out to people, expect the unusual. Brother, expect that you're going to shake people and they get elocuted by the power of God. I'm very serious. Expect the unusual. Expect that people will meet you and without you saying a word, they are convicted of their sins. We are in the days of the greater glory. Are you guys following me? Expect it. Because the glory was behind the veil. And look at all it worked out. Look at Red Sea dividing. Are you getting the point? Look at the kind of meetings they had. We are in these days. There is a revealed glory. Now we should expect much more. The days of miracles are here. No, well, the Lord was talking to me about it. He said, you don't expect much. You don't expect much. He said, you expect the usual. He said, for every of your meetings, every of your services, expect the unusual. Expect the unusual. And that day he said to me, sometimes you teach on things that the power of God can handle. And I tell you that tonight, if you are here, for instance, and you have a mental issue, I mean psychological issue, maybe depression or whatever. You've heard teachings, it did not work. Don't worry. If my hand touched your head, it will disappear. I don't know how it came. What I mean, some of you, I will put my hands on you tonight, you will laugh throughout this night. Because joy will envelop you. Then sings my soul, my Savior, Lord to thee. Don't worry, just stay back. Let's just sing it all over this place. Then sings my soul, then. Let me hear you, come on. God to you. Woo, Kabarada Kadash. I started singing this song and I saw Catherine Kuman meetings. Yeah, I just did this song. I saw Catherine Kuman meetings. And I tell you, we are the days of God's glory. Don't make light of it. Something has been revealed. There's lights open. We can see. I began to see meetings where we have wheelchairs emptied by the power of God. Wheelchairs emptied where blind eyes see. Where people will sit on their seats as you are preaching. They are crying in response to the message. They've not heard anything. And some of you know that this is where you can stand. And you know what the Lord is saying to me? He's saying to me as I'm hearing this now, you are not the one to carry this all over the world. He said, I will take a portion and put on every one of them. Because they have to carry this all over the place, all over the world. Am I in my spirit? And what I mean, Catherine, when I mean talking about these meetings, I'm not just talking about meetings, organized meetings. I'm talking about preaching sessions in your classroom, preaching sessions in your hostel. Where the power of God will break out tangibly, birthing forth healing. Yes, yes, yes. Miracles on the go. Miracles on the go. Rebata Akash. We are in the days of the revealed glory. I'm trying to whet your appetite to know what to expect every time we hit the streets. To know what to expect because these are the days. The curtain has been opened. Now we can see what has been hidden. And behind that veil is the ark. Behind that veil is the cherubim of glory. It's no more hidden. It's now no more hidden. You know, there are two persons here that have an eye condition. Put your hands on that eye and speak to those eyes now. And suddenly you begin to read better and see better. That is the power of God strong all over this place. Speak over those. That's what I'm trying to hear the Lord say. We are in the days of the revealed glory. Woo! See the way Joel, we put it in Joel 2 verse 28. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days. And he's talking about now. It's come in those days that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. He said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So prophecy should be commonplace among us. It should be common. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. I'm hearing it again. The days of visions are here now. And I'm hearing it again and again, repeated. Now, I've left my message, but the Lord is talking to me now. The days of visions are here now. As some of you, before the end of this meeting, it will start. You will see things. I mean, open visions. I'm talking about it. Open visions. Some of you will see. There will be appearances of Jesus, of the divine. And many of you, it will launch you out into your ministry. Friends, I believe in the word of God. But I also believe that the word of God is real and it can walk, it can be felt. I've seen Jesus. I've seen him in his word. But I've seen him appear to me. I get to the point. I've seen him in his word. I preach him in his word. But I've seen him appear to me. And I can't forget that day. And there's nothing you do that can take that experience from me. Nothing. And it was that experience that opened me up to what you call the gospel. To the pastor is preaching grace and all that. It was that experience. That's why there is nothing you do. I saw it in the word. But Jesus saw me. I saw Jesus. I believe in visions. I don't even know why I'm saying this. I believe in visions. I believe in visions. I believe in visions. I've seen Jesus. I've seen the roof of my house open. I'm telling you. And I looked and I could see him in the cloud. Behold, he comes. As the trumpet, hey, I lift your voice. It's the day of Jubilee. Out of Zion, salvation. Do it again. Behold, he comes. Behold, he comes. Woo! As a trumpet, lift your voice, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, out of Zion. We'll do that song one more time. Behold, he comes. Hey, yo, 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 yo. Habarada, as the trumpet sound, lift your voice. Lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion, sing. Come on. Woo! Behold, he comes. Come on, church. Come on.
Riding on the clouds.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Shining like the sun.
As the trumpet sound.
Trumpets come,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lift your voice.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
For you, that place you're standing. Something for you.
Like the sun.
Yeah, all over this place.
As the sun,
Harry, that is something for you. Take, wherever you're
standing.
All over this place. All over this place. The year of Jubilee. Hey, Abara.
Others are your sins. Salvation come.
Expect the supernatural manifestations. That's where we live now. Brother, I don't know you, but there is something for you. I get it. Come, bring him. Come. Ekabashada, I don't know you, but you see. Koba Anash, there are pictures and visions in your heart of what God has put for you to do. There are. And I know that this meeting will bet it. It will release you into more study, more understanding. But I tell you, something has started. And I hear the Lord say, I should say to you, never doubt your calling. People will speak against it. People will try to talk you out of it. Never doubt it. I don't know you, but I'm hearing this. Never doubt it. Never. Never. And you have a part in what I'm saying. Glory to God. Just try sitting now. Try grabbing your seat. Tonight you are going to see much more. Yeah, God bless you. See that. Go back. It shall come to pass on the last days that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young old men shall see visions. Shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Hallelujah. That's the day we are living in now. That's the days we are living in now. And verse 29, it says that even, hallelujah, that even upon, also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. I will show wonders, this is where I'm going to, wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. That's not talking about blood moon or anything. Let me correct that. It's not blood moon. It's talking about wonders. There will be wonders in these last days. Things that will sound like lies. Testimonies that will sound like it's not true. Guns that will be shot and people are not destroyed. People that will pass through fire, not in the spirit, literally, and come out, not burnt. Yes. Guns shot and they will not work. I will show wonders in the heavens. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. These are the days we're living. So the light revealed the glory of God. The glory of God. Let me see if I can close. The light also revealed to us what I call the mysteries of God. And I want to talk about this finally before I close this morning. We'll come back in the evening. You know, one of the things is I told you in the Old Testament, God was not known. All that was hidden about God, and on this note I'm going to close, all that was hidden about God has now been revealed in the New Testament. When he came, light shined, we can now see. Let me show you a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. Maybe we'll do New Living Translation.
Chukwokike narekele kem jiribiao Jehovah mi maramai Papa Odi yonye dikagyo narekele kem jiribiao Jehovah mi maramai. He said, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I have not seen, but it was to us that God revealed these things.
by his spirit. So the things that no eye had seen, no ear has been able to understand, in Christ, when light came, God has now revealed those things to us. So those things which eyes could not see and ears could not hear, God has now revealed. So we are not in the dark. He said, for his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. So when you hear things like, no eye has seen, I had not seen, ears or heard, he's not talking about you, he's talking about the Old Testament guys. To us, God shows us even the deepest secrets that he has. The mysteries of, the truths of the kingdom. He said, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has given us. So everything that pertains to God, we can know. Because light has come. That's why I told you these are the days of vision. But I also add, these are the days of revelations. And it's not about revelation now, about spiritual, but I'm talking about revelation of God's word. Where we will know clearly the things God has given us. And when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the spirits, using the spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But the people who are not spiritual, cannot receive these truths from God's spirit. That's the point. Hallelujah. They can't. It all sounds foolish to them. And they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. But they themselves cannot be evaluated. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things. For we have the mind of Christ. So when you say, I have the mind of Christ, he's not talking about any other thing. He's talking about the fact that we now have knowledge into everything that Christ has to teach, and into everything that he has to reveal. Everything that can be known about God, we can know. That's why when I teach you, I jokingly tell you to say things like, I don't have a blockhead, or say things like, it is given to me to understand, because we have the mind of Christ. So what you call secrets about God, what you call mysteries, what you call whatever that is found in this Bible, it is given to you to understand it. Everything. That's why when I begin to teach, don't look stupid. Don't look as though, what is he saying? It is given to you to understand. Are you following me, church? Why? You have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not stupid. God's Bible makes sense to me. And to tell you that it takes spirituality to understand Bible. Have you not seen people who are so intelligent that are first class students? Yet when you teach the Bible, they mope like idiots. Because the Bible is not just head knowledge. It is the mind of Christ. And you have it. That's why when you read, expect to understand. When you listen, expect to understand. Who is following me this morning? When you hear me talk, expect to understand. When it looks like you don't understand, close it back. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Open it. Read it again. It will come. You have the mind of Christ. Everything called the mystery of whatever, you can now understand. Matthew chapter 10, verse chapter 13 and verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. We will not recover from these experiences in a hurry. His disciples came to him with NLT. And they asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. So there are things we are allowed and permitted to understand, but others cannot understand it. What a blessing. What a blessing. You are permitted. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. And they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That's why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their eyes, their ears cannot hear. and they have closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But verse 16, but blessed are your eyes. My eyes are blessed because they see. My eyes, my ears are blessed because they hear. In other words, don't ever, you know, when people come to say this Bible thing, it's not you. You understand. It is given to me to understand the Bible. Because I have the mind of Christ. Blessed is my eye for they see. Blessed is my ear for they hear. Oh, glory to God. I see and I understand. I see and I understand. The things of the kingdom revealed in the Bible, revealed in Christ, that are not hidden from me. That's why I am not confused when I hear God's word. That's why I lead you to talk all the time. I tell you, I make you say things like, it is given to me to understand. Because actually, it is given to you. Are you getting the point? It's given to you. Let me say this to you. One of the greatest fights of the devil in this generation over the years, has been to keep people in the dark. You know, you heard of the dark ages of the church. There was a generation, some of them were in LMP last year, I explained this. There was a generation where the Bible was not in English. And the leaders of the church then, who didn't know what they were doing, stopped the Bible from being translated to any other language other than Latin. So if you cannot understand, and imagine you are in England, the Bible is in Latin. In fact, not that it wasn't translated, the only copies they had was in church. So anything they tell you that God said is what God said. It's the fight of the devil to keep people in the dark. Because he knows that believers have now been given ability to understand this thing. So he took away that book. Are you getting the point? Then the likes of William Tyndale began to translate the Bible. The likes of Martin Luther did the just shall live by faith. Whatever. And then they began to fight hard. Many of them were killed. Some were killed for translating the Bible from Latin or from Greek to English. Why is the Bible so important? Why kill people for translating a book? You get the point. It's the fight of the devil. You need to understand how powerful the Bible is. So it's just an ordinary book. But people were killed. Many. Martin Luther was banished from the church for preaching justification by faith and for attempting to translate the Bible. But you know, God is powerful. Because in those days, one of the things that happened was printing press was just discovered in Germany then. And the guys that owned the printing press then became believers and believed what Martin Luther was saying. So they offered their press to mass produce Bible. So the more they burnt the Bible, the more others have been mass produced. Because God wanted the light to shine. I have the mind of Christ. It's given to me. All the fact of the devil is just. That's why I'm telling you. Satan wants to keep you far from your Bible. He wants to keep you far from your Bible. Are you listening to me? He wants to. But you won't let him. Get your Bible. It's given to you to understand. So today, we can see. Today, we can hear. Today, we can understand. And I want to show you a verse. Just the next verse after this. He said, my eyes are blessed for the sea. Verse 17. Hallelujah. He says, I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. They long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Many tried to understand this thing, but they did not. But now all the things you call the mysteries of God, mysteries of the divine, mysteries of the kingdom, anything you call it. That's why I don't believe that anybody should be preaching mysteries of anything. Because what was a mystery is now revealed. You understand the point? If I put something in a carton, it's a mystery. If I open the carton and throw away the carton, it's not a mystery. So I don't believe all these mysteries of the seven mysteries of the kingdom, seven mysteries of the divine. See, all that was a mystery has now been revealed. At least to the man in Christ. We have the mind of Christ. There are no more mysteries. We can now see. That's why I tell people, We are not children of the dark. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 1. Let's walk with King James so we can begin to wind down. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 1. He said, but of the times and season, brethren. He said, you have no need that I write unto you. You have no need. Do you know why? That's what I tell you. We know. He said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, pay attention to this. He said, the day comes like a thief. He said, for when they shall say, but you will realize when I'm done, that the day of the Lord does not come like a thief. To the believer. Watch. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come out upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now see verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So it will not come as a thief to us. So when Jesus was telling them it will come like a thief, he was talking to them, the guys without Christ. We that have Christ, it will be given to us to know. He said, you are not in darkness. The day will not overtake you as a thief. Now, see verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and children of the day. You see, because you are children of light, the day cannot overtake us as a thief. What it means is that the day, when the day of the Lord will come, we all know. All of us that have the mind of Christ, we will feel it same time. It will not be, like, Jesus, what's happening? We will know. Because that same spirit that lives in me lives in you. He will tell you. In fact, it is that spirit that will begin to change you from inside out. It will be it will come like a thief to men in the world. But worse, our Father does not come like a thief. He's our Father. Do you understand the point? Daddy doesn't come like a thief. Even if daddy arrives when I did not know he will come, he did not still come like a thief. Do you understand the point? It's my father. So that day we will know. So we are not children of the night. We are children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So I'm a child of light. I am a child of light. I have light. I know the things of God. I understand the things of God. I understand the mysteries of the things of God. I understand the things of the kingdom. Once it pertains to the kingdom, I have light. No, the songwriter said, no more veil, no more limitations. I can now see Jesus face to face. No more veil. All the veil has been removed. We can now see the glory. We can now see God. We can now see the Father. We can now see the source of the kingdom. Everything I have to say about God, His kingdom, the seven ways to do this, I can know them. I can understand them. If I give myself to look at them, I will understand them. The world may not. It may sound foolish to them, but I understand it. You say why? I'm a child of light. I'm a child of light. I'll show you one last scripture or two. One, okay, two. Matthew 12:42. I cannot understand. He said, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn. Amen. I shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You know, Solomon is said to be the wisest man in the world. That people came from all over the world to hear his wisdom. Jesus told them, well, a person greater than Solomon is here. Who was he referring to? Himself. That he is greater, he is wiser than Solomon. Is that understandable? So Solomon, until Jesus came, was the wisest. Jesus came, he stopped being the wisest. The beautiful thing I want to show you is that that great wisdom that Christ has, we now have access to that wisdom. In fact, he even said in James 1 verse 5 that if any of you lack that wisdom, you should ask him, he'll give you liberally. So that wisdom of Solomon, they say, is the greatest. He's no more the wisest man. The man in Christ now has access to the greatest wisdom ever. Because light has come. Are you following me? The greatest. Say Solomon was wise. Solomon was wise. But sometimes when I read Solomon's books and put them side by side by the New Testament, I still see foolishness. I'm not. I get the point. Sometimes. Why? He was very wise. But then there was still a veil. So he spoke according to the wisdom available then. But when Jesus brought his wisdom and gave us access to that wisdom, now we know things. Now we know things. Solomon was so wise that he married 700 women and 300 concubines. What wisdom? By the time, that's why I tell you, family, as in one man, one wife, is the wisdom of God. When you see, but that's all someone could understand is, if you are wise, acquire women. He acquired 1,000. Jesus came in his wisdom. He married one body, the church. I get to the point. Just one body, the church. Showing us a pattern that we mustn't learn from Solomon to marry 700. We learn from Jesus. He married one body. So we have wisdom more than what Solomon could offer. The wisest that could ever live under the law. We have wisdom more than what he could offer. All we have to do is to look at Christ. Look at his word. Look at what he says. And now we are wise. I don't know whether that has happened to you before. Where you talk, some things, what you are saying are just things you saw in the Bible. And people are amazed. Man, you are so wise. Sometimes there are things that your pastor said in church. You just tell the person, this, the person said, God, you are wise. You tell him, yes, the Lord makes me wise. Hallelujah. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. He will give you liberally. He will give you an overflow of wisdom. So that mighty wisdom found in Christ that is greater than Solomon is now available to me. I know, I see, I understand. Nothing confuses me anymore. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Light has revealed. Light has brought wisdom. And I tell you, over the place, I just talk to people. Sometimes people come with their problems. Some of you pastors can tell what I'm saying. People come with their complicated issues. And all you just have to do is just to say a few sentences. Sometimes you are saying exactly what you saw in the Bible. Sometimes what the Lord drops in your heart. And the person says, oh, thank you. I just feel free. I just feel better. What wisdom? A greater than Solomon is here. That's Jesus. That is wisdom I have. So I can also say of myself, a greater than Solomon is here. Because the veil is off. We can now see everything behind. We can now see God for who he truly is. We can now see what God can do. We can now see what God cannot do. We now know the boundaries. We now know God for who he truly is. We now see his wisdom clearly. So I want to charge you. As I close. This afternoon, this morning now. I want to charge you, friend. To know God. Relate with him as he should be. Don't relate with him as though you are still behind the veil. Relate with him. Know him as love. Know his mercy. Know his grace. Know his presence. Know his glory. Know his power. No longer figments, but the real thing. Know his ways. We are children of light. Do not relate with God like a child of the dark. Flow with him like a child of light. Now we can see. Now we can know. Now we can understand the things of God, the things of the kingdom. We are no longer in the dark. Now, we are in the light. Is that talking about you? I can now see Jesus face to face. Let's just take that song and I close. We'll come tonight. Let me tell you something about tonight. I'm going to be ministering to the sick. A couple of persons have filled a form for healing line and all that. And if you fill that form, just come in here with a lot of expectations. And even if you didn't fill the form, I just trusted God for any miracle. Be here tonight. But apart from the miracles, you see, whenever I minister healing, the healing anointing is present. So it will rub off on you. You will be able to flow in that anointing and do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So tonight, we'll return. But I tell you, before that, you're going to celebrate today, for we have light now. We've seen behind the veil. We saw God face to face. We saw His wisdom. We saw His glory. Hallelujah. We saw His wisdom. We saw His glory. Jesus took my sin. He took my sufferings. We're going to sing that song like 2-3 times. Then I'll release you to go this afternoon.
Jesus took my sin, sufferings, offering. So that I might be closer unto Him. Oh, in my place, Jesus to the God for me.
Come on.
Presenting me to God holy. Now I am fit to walk in His presence and glory. No more veil, no more limitation. I can now see Jesus face to face.
No more veil,
no more veil, no more limitation. I can now see Jesus face to face.
Come on.
The price
has been paid. The blood has made a way for me. I can now see Jesus face to face.
We put it on the screen. We take it from the top again. I want you to hear your own voice. No, but they're not singing for you. They're just helping you sing. So add your voice to this. Let's sing together. Jesus took my sin. He took my sufferings all for free, so that I might be closer unto Him. In my place, Jesus stood the gap for me, presenting me to God holy. Now I am fit to walk in His presence and glory. You go ahead.
Took my sin, sufferings, all for free.
Let me hear you sing it all over this place.
Yes. So that I might be closer unto Him. Oh, in my place, Jesus took the gap for me. Holy, now I am fit to walk in His presence and glory.
Yay!
No more veil, no more limitation. I can now see Jesus face to face.
No more veil,
no more veil,
no more veil.
Hey, I can now see Jesus.
The price has been paid. The price has been paid.
The Lord has made a way for me.
I can now see Jesus.
Say the price has been paid.
The price has been paid.
The price has been paid. The Lord has made a way for me. I can now see Jesus face to face.
Face to face.
Face to face, I can now see Jesus. Face to face, face to face,
face to face,
face to face,
face to face.
I can now see,
I can now see Jesus. Face to face,
face to face,
face to face,
face to face. I can now see, I can now see Jesus.
Three more times.
The price has been paid.
The Lord has made a way for me. I can now see Jesus
face to
face, face to face,
face to face,
face to face.
I can now see Jesus
face to face.
Glory to God.
So I know. I know Jesus. I can see him face to face. It's no more hidden. He's been revealed. So that's why I did that song yesterday, and in that way that I did it. Hallelujah. Immortal. Now, see the point. When they did that song, they said immortal, invisible. But we don't sing like that. We sing immortal, now visible. You are the God only wise. In light, now accessible, revealed to our eyes. As I was singing, he's not hidden from us. He's now accessible. Hallelujah. Lift your hands all over this place. Let's sing it and we close. Whoosh.
Immortal,
come on.
Now visible, God only wise, in light now accessible, revealed to our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise.
Sing it again.
Immortal, now visible, God only wise, in light now accessing, revealed to us. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise.
So we no longer call God he that dwells in light that is unapproachable. He dwells in light, but we can now approach. You understand? We can have, not that we can approach, we have approached. In fact, we've become one with that light. That light that was unapproachable, we are now living inside that light. Can you imagine that? Glory to God. Are you blessed? I'm a child of light. I know the things of the kingdom. I am not in the dark. I understand these things. It is given to me to understand the things of the kingdom. Hallelujah. God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.